The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. This is John Crossman, and with me is Mike Gillen. Mike, how are you, bud?
Hey, I am here, and I'm excited about this one.
Listen, quick story before we get started. Is that
okay? All right, bring it on.
Listen to me. I did not know as a kid I was dyslexic. You know, I just school was hard kind of a thing. But an amazing thing happened to me when I was a junior in high school. I took speech class. And somehow, like, that became like a dominant world for me. Like, it just really just clicked. And of course, now I know it's because my brain, the wiring, was able to communicate that way and not as well in other forms, right? And so when it came, I was going to be ready to go my senior year. The speech teacher came up to me and he said, "Hey, you should be in debate." And I said, "Well, I can't. My schedule's all set." And so I saw him about a week later, and I thought he said the same thing. And so I said the same thing back. I said, "Well, I can't be in it. My schedule's set." And he goes, no, I'm telling you, you are in debate. I went to the guidance office and changed your schedule," which I didn't know like that was possible.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. And so years later, when I wrote my book, I dedicated it to him because of how much he helped me. And then right in the height of COVID, he was in a car accident and passed away.
Oh.
And so when things calmed down from COVID, they had a memorial service, and his wife called me and said, "Would I give the eulogy?" Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Yeah. So I went down and gave that speech. And so that was like one of those full circle moments to me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't, you know, I do some a little bit of speaking, but, you know, I don't do that professionally. But I have just learned over the years that's to me the secret of like having really strong communication, storytelling has just been really critical for me. And of course, I've kind of just done it, not really having as much training. Well, we have a guest, and this guy is really good. He is indeed. I'm an amateur. This guy's a professional. I'm kind of giving advice. This guy actually does training on it. But Michael Strouser is here with us. Michael, you're there.
Hey, John. Hey, Mike. I'm here. It's so good to hear you both, and glad that we can have a conversation today.
And so you are a professor and you are a consultant. Talk a little bit about vocationally all the things that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like my wife always says that I have this running just ideal list and to-do list professionally that just never ends, right? Every time I mark something off, I add three. But my day job, I'm a professor of communication at the University of Central Florida. And I primarily teach advanced public speaking, business and professional communication, and then a couple of different graduate classes as well. But then I also do training and consulting, where I focus on teaching others communication skills. I do a lot of training about generational differences in the workplace and how we kind of overcome those as well. So a lot of different irons in the fire for me.
You know, it's funny, Michael, when I see live theater, I'm like, oh my God. And it's good. You know, it's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is so good. And I remember like times looking at my wife, like, why don't we go to see live theater more often? And then you see a live theater production that's terrible. And you're like, it's like having bad sushi or something. Like, you know, it's going to be a while. Right. And so, you know, because I like public speaking, I love hearing great public speakers, but when some public speakers are struggling, I can't really listen to them. It's just hard. And I'm not trying to pick on our current president, but a little
bit. I thought you were talking about me and I was going to.
No, but like sometimes like when somebody like it, they're having a hard time, like it's hard for me to watch it. Like my dad played college football. He was a center. Whenever somebody would hike the ball over somebody else's head, like he'd see that on the NFL, he couldn't watch it. Like I'm the same way when I'm like a public speaker. So it's one of those things that it's an important skill set. I think there was a study done that said that most Americans are more afraid of public speaking than death, meaning most Americans would rather be in the coffin than give the eulogy, right? And yet in a lot of business and settings and CEOs, you have to have some level of that. So is all that true that it's really, this is an important part of a lot of leadership is being able to give a speech, is that correct?
It absolutely is. And I would even go even further, John, to where it's not just the ability even to give a speech, but the reality is that, you know, and granted, I'm biased in this, right? But communication And I would argue effective communication skills literally manifest themselves or should in every single thing that we do. So even thinking about, you know, your CEO who needs to give a presentation to the board, well, that's one facet, right? That's very clearly public speaking. You have to get a message across. You have to incorporate, you know, a story, a good narrative. You have to explain data. But then think about that same CEO who has to build relationships across a variety of different spectrums, across a variety of different personalities. Like it literally is what I would consider to be just this umbrella of communication in general. What all of these, you know, AI, robots, all of these different things will never be able to replicate. Like it is very purely the most human skill we can possibly have.
Well, it's the art of storytelling. Like even if you were, you know, just a person talking about, you know, who is the greatest teacher of all time, you know, I would say you could argue Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus could have said, hey, be nice to each other. Right. And he didn't, you know, he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And we can be all over the world and say, do you know the story of Good Samaritan? And people know it because of that story and what that means. And so,
right.
So sometimes I think if somebody says, you're a good storyteller, it kind of can be patronizing, like you're reading a story to a child. And that's not what you're talking about. What you're talking about is like an idea. And I think that if you have this big idea and then you can make it be vulnerable, you can tell a story about your own life experience and you're relatable. But those are not genie in a bottle stuff. Like that's skill sets that you can teach people how to do, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's one of the most important realities here about communication is that we've grown up with this fallacy that there is this X factor that you either have or you don't. And that's just not true. That's not true. Like any skill, communication, even storytelling, you know, presentation skills, even relationship building is something that can be taught. Harness, there can be growth. You know, it's funny. I was listening to one of your episodes the other day, John, and you, I always love when you and Mike interact because you said, okay, you know, Mike, really quick, I've got a story. And you did it even, you know, introducing me today. And Mike just really quickly kind of off the cuff, oh, good, John, tell it. I love your story. And if we think about how many messages we are bombarded with on a regular basis, like what helps us differentiate all of these different realities that are just coming at us constantly. Well, what do we remember? It's stories. It's stories. And it's not exactly like you said, right? It's not that I'm sitting there reading Curious George to my three-year-old and that's what resonates. It's the fact that we are creating climax and context and creating something memorable that people will take away.
Well, it's so funny, Mike. I have some stories that I tell that are defining of me, right? Like you're getting to know me, like tell me a story of that. When I'm doing podcasts and other stuff, I really try hard to like tell a story of something that happened in my life the previous week, right? Like it's new original content. And so I sort of challenge myself to be aware of my surroundings, you know, be curious and talking to people. So it stays up to date that I'm not just saying the same thing. I one time heard a sermon from a pastor and then like a year later, I happened to hear him again and it was the same sermon. And it was really deflating because like the first time I heard it was really good. But then I was like, oh, man, like, you know, like so that was phoning in a little bit. So but for people to take this away, if you're an introvert, if you hate public speaking, if you find it, you know, energy sucking to go to a conference and talk to people, you're not alone and you can actually learn how to get through all that in a productive way. Is that correct?
It is correct. And I'll actually use myself as an example. You know, it's funny. You mentioned your experience taking a speech class and your professor encouraged you to do debate. So I tell my undergrad students, especially at UCF, I got a C- in speech in high school and a C+ in speech in college. And the C+ was generous and gracious.
Wow!
Because the professor just looked at me and said, I don't necessarily want you to take this again. And I especially don't want to have you again. You gotta move on. So I tell my students that I'm going, look, here's the deal. Like you can improve, you can get better. And I think that there's a reality here where it's, we need to appreciate incremental change. And we're also in this society. And I think you both will appreciate this where, you know, not only I mentioned kind of being bombarded with messages, but we're also bombarded with, idealistic versions of self And I think that that definitely applies in the realm of communication and public speaking, where we always think we have to be perfect and we never will be perfect. And I think that's part of where people's anxiety comes from. It's fear of man. And I think it's that desire to be flawless, but the recognition that we will never get there. And so, you know, and what better kind of illustration, honestly, even of just the truths of the gospel, that there's a reality here to where you're not good enough. That's all right. Like there's a wonderful Savior. But then also the flip side is, I think that we just need to step back and take a collective deep breath and recognize that this idealistic version of self is unrealistic at best.
I really like that. We're going to need to take a break in a second. But Mike, one of the things I heard you say is that, or I pulled out of it, is that if you're a CEO that like went through grad school, high school, straight A's, MBA program, straight A's, and mm-hmm. now you're a CEO and you got to do this presentation, what you're thinking is I've got to make an A+. I got to be flawless. Mm-hmm. And you're starting the conversation like, dude, that's unattainable. You need to not be mm-hmm. flawless. You need to be you. Did I get that right?
You did. Absolutely. And I would even say there are so many different examples from a corporate perspective. You know, Steve Jobs was an incredible communicator, but he wasn't flashy. He wasn't uber charismatic. He was clear. He was innovative. And he was also, he was a good storyteller too. I mean, his products told stories. But I think, you know, the reality is that when our mistakes become distracting to the audience, then it's a hindrance. But I also think there's a realism and the recognition that we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. So you don't necessarily need to strive for the A+ every time, do your best, but kind of recognize and step back that and realize that it's not going to happen overnight, and then that's okay. It's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, just like anything else, like exercise and diet, like you don't have to become a marathon runner overnight. You don't have to become a triathlete overnight.
Right.
You know, just going for a good walk for 30 minutes, you know, like that, some little steps like that. Well, Mike,
right.
I want to take a quick break. We come back and I want to kind of like get a little more steps in sort of breaking down how somebody could go from not feeling great about their communication to feeling better about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here at the Crossman Conversation. As the largest property tax practice in North America, Ryan's professionals possess the local footprint and knowledge, backed by a team with national expertise to help organizations minimize their property tax liabilities and ensure valuations are fair and accurate. With the Florida tax appeal deadlines approaching rapidly, local experts at Ryan work proactively with many jurisdictions across Florida well in advance of the August trim notice mailing to ensure our clients receive maximum tax savings. Guys, I use Ryan, and I hope you will too.
Crossmark Services is a commercial real estate firm offering a wide range of professional services, including advisory, brokerage and leasing, investing, and property management. Our staff comprises the industry's most seasoned professionals who possess the needed knowledge in real estate investments, analysis, and portfolio management to drive growth. See how Crossmark can work for you. That's crossmarkservices.com.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper and Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com. This is John Crossman, and I work with a lot of vendors in the commercial real estate industry. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite ones ever is my friends over at Construction Unlimited, Florida's premier roofing company, and they bridged the craftsmanship with the pinnacle of innovation. They're just one of the best groups because of the trust, the expertise, the quality, and my favorite part, they're really committed to the community. When you're thinking about roofing construction needs, keep Construction Unlimited at the top of your list.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, we are back here at the Crossman Conversation. Michael Strauser, we're talking. He's a professor of communications. It's funny, Michael, if I had an extra life, I would love to go back and get a mastery in communications because I just love the subject so much. That said, there was a big time in my life that was not true. And what a lot of people don't know about me, and I say this and they argue with me sometimes, is I'm actually an introvert. and that, you know, like, I've got a big event I'm going to go to tonight, and I think people will see me and they'll have a good time and fun. But when I get done with it, I'm exhausted. I am absolutely exhausted. And so I can do it because I learned the skill set. So the reason why I wanted to start with that is that let's just go through a hypothetical. Let's just pretend like if somebody was on listening to this and they're an aspiring CEO, they've got a good background, but they're like, oh my gosh, I hate going to networking events. And the thought of giving a speech gives me dry heaves. But I really want to get there over the next 5 years. What would you, Michael, tell them? These are the key things you need to be thinking about to go from X to Y.
All right. So let me, I'm going to nerd out on you for just a second, because I am actually probably trying to figure out which one I would weigh more. I'm probably one of the most introverted extroverts you will ever meet. And the reality is, like, the masses don't bother me. So I can stand up and I can give a speech to 30, you know, 1,000 or 30,000. And the anxiety level is relatively similar. Like, it just, I don't notice it for some reason. It's those one-on-one, one-on-two conversations, John, maybe similarly somewhat to what you're saying, that drain my energy. So the public speaking gives me energy. So when I was a sophomore in college, and this is where I'm going to nerd out on you a little bit, I forced myself every day for lunch, 5 days a week, so Monday through Friday, I would have lunch with a different individual. So I was 19 doing this, which I feel like it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit weird. But part of why I did that was because I recognized, man, I just need to get better at these longer form conversations, and I need to become a better listener. And so I forced myself 5 days a week, the entire, you know, two semesters that I was at my university, someone new, lunch with them every day. And I started to hone the practice of asking good questions and listening actively, meaning that I'm paraphrasing, I'm asking follow-up questions, I'm actually kind of listening for key elements of what they're saying, as opposed to just waiting for my next response. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, the networking events are really interesting. I talked to my students about it, that everyone is nervous. Like, there's not a single person at a networking event who's not nervous. And everybody needs to recognize that, especially at a networking event, everyone to a certain extent has selfish motive. Like, you're there to network. But I think the recognition here is that we want to make sure that we are doing what we can to kind of reach everyone who's there and kind of paying it forward. But practice, especially in this particular smaller audience realm, makes so much difference. It really does.
That's awesome. And so somebody can get there. It's just first acknowledging it and then making a plan and then working with professionals and getting there. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. But I would say the two keys, so if we're looking for two key takeaways, we need to get better holistically at asking good questions, and we need to get better holistically at listening actively. And I think those two things can transform any conversation. So what do I mean by, like, even asking a good question? You know, at a networking event, what do we typically do? We start with, hey, what do you do? Da, 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 da. And that's fine. Like, those are fine questions to start with. But then think a little bit deeper. Hey, I'm curious. You know, you said you were a CEO at a company that creates microchips. You know, that's really interesting. I bet the last couple of years have been really challenging for you. Give me maybe the most challenging thing that you've experienced over the last couple of years related to your job. Like, that's a little bit of a deeper level question that segues into learning more about the person that you're talking to. And it's a good follow-up. So then you can just kind of keep going on that track a little bit. So it's asking good questions, and then it's actually listening and taking time to value the other person who's sitting or standing across from you, and taking time to actually digest and marinate on what they're saying.
I really like that. And I also wanted to ask this, like, I'm guessing that you got to read the room, right? Like, sometimes it might be a situation where people don't want to talk about things that are deep. Like, they want to keep surfacey, which I don't like. I get really bored with that. But I've had to learn sometimes to go, oh, okay, this is a situation, right? And whereas other times you can get deeper. But I guess you kind of like give and take a little bit and see how the situation's going. Is that right?
It is right. But I think there are varying levels of depth in a conversation. And so, you know, when I'm talking to someone, you know, I'm not scratching the surfaces of the deep, dark places of their soul. But I'm stepping back and saying, okay, let's think about their particular job. Like, this is something that, let's go back to that. Hey, what's been most challenging for you in your position over the last couple of years? It takes it beyond a, hey, you know what, you know, crazy weather. It's been a pretty frigid winter here in Florida. You can only do so much with that. So I think it allows you to get to know the person without being so threatening that you're encouraging them to be too vulnerable. And okay. I think that's kind of the pressure point.
That's really
so
sharp.
There are some people at different places that don't want to go any deeper than, you know, the second or third question, and then they'll move on, and that's fine. But I do think it's a level where we want to make sure that we're reading the room too.
All right, so I want to throw a couple out at you, scenarios at you. Tell me if these are good or bad or right or wrong. Is that okay? You ready?
Yeah, please. All right. Do. Rapid fire.
Okay. Go. All right, so Michael, I walk into somebody's office and I try to study like what's on their desk, what they have around them, and yeah. then if something kind of jumps out, I'd like to ask them about that thing, right? And mm-hmm. To me, it's like, because if somebody's intentionally put things out on their desk, if there's like 15 things about golf, and I'm just like, man, are you pretty much of a golfer? Is that a good way or not a good way?
Oh, I think that's totally a great way. My favorite, this is not rapid fire. I'm going to give you a little bit longer answer to this one. One of my favorite TV shows is The Office. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene in The Office where Michael Scott, who is the bumbling boss, has like a physical Rolodex. And this is a, you know, this TV show came out at the time where we were doing so many different things electronically. And he had a note card with all of his contacts. And on the front, it would be the contact's name and their contact information. And on the back, he would have 2 to 3 different facts, like very personal facts about, you know, whoever this contact was. So it would be, you know, Michael Strawser has 5 kids, professor at UCF, loves to read. And everybody made fun of him, but it was brilliant. It was mm-hmm. brilliant because he was able to then take that and be a lot more personal with his contacts. That's exactly what you're talking about. The reality is that we surround ourselves with symbols that share something about us. So there's a level where we can look at the symbols that are presented. And that's exactly what you're talking about, John, the you know, golf memorabilia everywhere. And then you can strike up some sort of a conversation about golf. But then the bigger picture too is, are we also reading how they're acting?
Hmm.
What are their mannerisms towards us? What's their eye contact? Like, what's their vocal inflection? Like, do they seem tired? Do they seem enthusiastic? Do they seem distracted? So there's a both and there, but I think doing that is wonderful. Like that's being a kind of an observer of human behavior, and that's good. We all should be able to do that.
I can't stand the question when students ask me, how did you get into real estate? Because I'm tired of answering it, and I don't even really think it's helpful to them. And then the other one is like, well, tell me about what you do. So what I did was I wrote a guide to commercial real estate, and it's on my website. And so I encourage students to read it and then ask me questions from that. And 90% of the time, I never hear from them again. But the 10% I do, it's really great. It's really great because they did a little bit extra work, and then it's like a more mm-hmm. meaningful conversation. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or I say this way sometimes to people. It's like, ask me a question, listen to their answer, and then ask a second question related to what they said in their answer, right?
That's right.
Sort of keep that going, where a lot of times it just kind of stays and it's kind of like surface the area. I think sometimes people get nervous and so they just keep talking. This is a real story. This really happened. I was working at a conference, part of the committee, and we had a keynote speaker, and it was Simon Sinek. You know, Simon Sinek. Big deal.
Start with why.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I got to go backstage and meet him. And Michael, I'm not making this up. The guy in front of me was talking on and on and on and on to Simon. And I'm sitting there thinking, I really wanted to ask Simon, like, how's your running going? Because I had studied him, and he's a legit runner. And, you know, I'm a runner, like, whatever. But the guy went so long. Actually, Simon looked at me at one point. I could tell his eyes. He was like saying, please save me, you know, like, and so I tell students a lot of times, like, if you're talking, you're losing, right? Like you want to get them kind of talking and then take notes and then follow up afterwards. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, just the last couple of minutes, any other big advice to the person listening to this? Like, hey, I hear you, bro, but I'm still totally freaked out about this speech I got that I need to do. Anything else, words of wisdom you want to give us?
Yeah, you know, so I mentioned specifically with conversations that, you know, let's think about actively listening and let's think about asking questions. I think from a public speaking perspective, and this is, you know, I wish I had a panacea, right? Like if I could market a pill that everyone could take and it would take away their public speaking anxiety, I'd be a billionaire. So, but I can't do that. But the research continually tells us that the reality is that if we practice, meaning if we put ourselves into situations where we are speaking in public and then taking feedback from those experiences and adjusting the next time, then we will improve. So it's not rocket science. Like, I think it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because we get nervous and we don't want to do it, and therefore we shy away from it. And then what happens? We get worse.
Yeah.
We get worse. So the reality is that I think the biggest thing, like if it's someone who wants to advance in their career, you must have human skills to advance in your career. So put yourself into situations where you can practice those human skills, and then seek and receive feedback with humility, and then make changes accordingly. Like, I think that's part of the biggest thing. Like, who are communicators that you trust? Ask them, like, where can I improve? Where can I get better? What did you notice? Give me specifics, not just, oh yeah, that was great, but really, let's dig in. Like, what could I do differently? And if you do that, there will be incremental changes. I promise. There will be incremental changes. They will exist.
What I hear you saying is it's reps. We all have to have reps.
It's reps.
Right?
That's right.
Like, we can't just walk up and swing the bat and hit the ball. You got to do it. So you might tell a college student, if they're, like, they're worried about, you know, job interview, go to their student union and challenge themselves to go meet 20 different students for the first time.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that kind of thing. Or every time you get a chance to give a speech. Right? Even if it's like, I like to read the announcements, you know. But you have to just keep doing it in that space. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, thank you so much for being a guest. This is all super helpful stuff. And I hope you'll stay in touch and come back again sometime. And I really appreciate you being investing in this skill set that's so critical for so many people.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. I always love having these types of conversations, and would love to come back.
So absolutely.
Thanks for letting me kind of talk a little bit about my heartbeat and kind of what gives me passion.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Michael, thanks so much for being on the show. This is the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.